I'm very happy now to welcome Catherine Galan. She is the executive director of the National Association of Independent Latino Producers, also called NALIP. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Marichelle. Really nice to be back.
It's great to have you back. You were here about a year ago and once again are here in New Mexico with the Latino Producers Academy. What's that all about?
Well, it's our eighth Latino Producers Academy, our third year here in New Mexico. This is a professional development program for Latino, Native American, and New Mexican writers, producers, and directors. We have a 10-day residential program for directors, first of documentaries, first of all. We're working on public television and social change documentaries on a variety of subjects. And then in the second half, we welcome producers and directors of narrative independent features who have a whole separate program to prepare their features and their films to go into production.
And so with those two, what kind of support does the Academy give these filmmakers?
Well, we really do a professional development program that's soup to nuts because artists need a safe place to develop their skills, advance their relationships, really think about their projects. So the documentary makers have a raft of mentors that come in to work on their proposals, on their narrative structure, on their fundraising trailers, on the way that they're going to finish and complete and score their films, how their market and their outreach and really maximize the impact that they hope to accomplish with their projects. The narrative filmmakers, the directors receive professional casts from the Screen Actors Guild, professional crews and mentors, and they have the opportunity to rehearse, to shoot, and to edit scenes from their upcoming features, so they're really prepared. The producers we work with on everything that they need to fundraise and prepare to support a director and realize the vision of an independent feature in the marketplace.
So an independent filmmaker who's making, for example, a narrative film and they've never worked with professional actors before, what a privilege for them.
It's a rare opportunity, a really very special one. The only other place that sort of duplicates this idea is the Sundance program for directors, which has invited a couple of Latino and Native producer directors over the years, but not many. So we really do this exclusively for them to have that chance before they're there with the huge crews and the big budgets and not had yet had that opportunity to practice, in a sense, and assemble their creative thoughts and style.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, having been working with the Santa Fe Film Festival on this program and you at NALIP and all the other kind of independent films that come through the screen and the CCA and the film festival, independent films are, by and large, so much better than big-budget films.
Well, they take on challenging subjects. They are willing to be risky creatively on subject matter, psychologically oftentimes. But our program developed in the same way that Robert Redford and our founder, Moctezuma Esparza, first developing the Sundance Screenwriting Lab, which was looking at the independent landscape. And there are many independent films that are made and even go to film festivals but don't receive releases. And had they had some advice, some mentoring, some input, some support in those early days of before they finalized their script and made their director and creative choices, there are other films that could have been even more successful. And so it's part of our ambition that not only do we help them launch these films, but that we launch them well, sensitive to the marketplace, sensitive to the opportunities to make their funding back, and to have their creativity and their message reach audiences and to enjoy them.
What's the market for documentaries like these days?
Well, documentaries have had a boom time over the last few years. More people have been attending them in the theaters, and more channels have begun showing them. Of course, public television has always been the major funder and supporter of that with series like Independent Lens and POV American Documentary, but they've been joined in the marketplace with documentaries being seen now on HBO and IFC and Discovery and other places. So I think that there's a great appetite and interest for independent films. And then you also have Netflix and other places that films can be discovered and found by audiences that may not have them or may not catch them in the art film theaters if they come there. It's more economical for a filmmaker to have their documentary reach an audience actually without going into the theaters because the marketing of that is very expensive. And the fees that they have to pay. So a lot of what documentary makers are doing these days is creating their audiences even as they make their films. They're reaching out to finding those interest groups, those advocacy groups, those communities that are going to be interested, and they follow the film as it's being made, may even invest in it a few dollars or given notices of what's, that it's coming so that they can support it when it arrives in whatever platform it arrives on.
The world has changed so much since perhaps you and I were very small, or you know, in the 50s when, what was it, 70% of Americans watched I Love Lucy.
It was very homogeneous viewing public. Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of had a sense, you could put your finger on the pulse of what people of the United States were looking at, mm-hmm. reading, listening to, and so on. And right now, it's this interesting world where there are perhaps hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people following a film that the rest of the world has never heard of and will never hear of. And so all these little kind of cultural subgroups exist and are proliferating.
It's really very true, and social networking and the multi-platform opportunities are what are making that possible. And, you know, actually that's exciting because filmmakers really want to reach audiences. They want to have their message and their art connect with a wider group than themselves because they're observing a phenomenon. They want to change something. They want to tell an important story, reflect the needs and interests of a community. So that there are now all of these new ways to reach that community, those many communities, I think is really exciting for them. But they also have to harness and tap it. So, you know, we find for both the narrative and the documentary filmmakers that we mentor now that there is a whole new dimension that they need to learn from the very beginning of thinking about how they will market, how they will build that audience, how they will reach them. Because the relying on the fact that they may be discovered at a festival or that they may at an A-plus festival anyway, or that they may receive a big advance or that there may be a big investment in their going into theaters is an option, of course, but there's so many other options that they can take more charge of and plan for and budget for and raise money for and ultimately be more effective, that they need to start thinking about that and being aware of those opportunities.
And as they think about that and become aware of those opportunities, I mean, okay, there are some people in film getting rich, we know, in Hollywood and so on, but are these folks, if not getting rich, okay, they're not, but making a living? Are they able to continue to allow their work to pay them?
Well, there's a big they there.
Yeah.
Big they. And filmmakers often have to make that choice between working in something as a profession or as the thing that they do for love that's ancillary to their day job. There certainly are professionals that are working in both film and television and documentaries, and documentary makers are finding their skills very translatable into reality television, into some of these channel stations that are doing beautiful work in nature documentaries and news and all sorts of things that this training then prepares them for. So the challenge, though, certainly for the independent filmmaker always is making a return on their investment in a film, and it's not always monetary. Sometimes it's their career, sometimes it's raising awareness about an issue, and it's not a big salary. But there are other parts of the distribution process that are putting coin directly into their pocket, or that we hope will, that some of these new media platforms that where people can pay, even if it's a little bit, that will accrete into enough money to at least help them pay back their investors and move on to a new project.
And what are some of these new media platforms you're talking about?
Well, there are the filmmakers that have created websites that are selling their DVDs themselves, that are joining streaming platforms, that are paying them, that some of those are the Amazon's On Demand and the Netflix On Demand, and other ways that they can apportion their distribution rights so that they're not simply handing them over to one distributor, which is sometimes the dream of a filmmaker, but is not always the most economical for them or their investors, because where some platform like selling it to HBO may bring them a large advance or a large amount of money, the distributor is going to take from that any losses and expenses that they have spent, for example, releasing it theatrically or releasing it internationally. So where filmmakers are holding on to these rights and divvying them up and controlling some of them themselves, selling DVDs out of their website, out of their trunk, if they're right. A social change documentary maker, selling them to groups, those are ideas that are beginning to pay off a bit for the filmmakers.
We're talking to Catherine Galan of the National Association of Latino Independent Producers about the Latino Producers Academy, which is happening right now in Santa Fe. It goes on for several weeks. And in fact, tonight we're going to see the film, of course, that we just talked about a few minutes ago, The Dry Land. What are some of the themes that people are working on in the films that you see at the Academy?
Well, we are a Latino Producers Academy, so the artists are coming out of that broad but specific group of artists that have grown up in Miami and Texas and New York. We have a couple of filmmakers that are from the large Mexican Latino community in Chicago, and they are telling really a variety of different kinds of stories, which is I'm very excited about. There are comedies, there are thrillers, there are some that are border stories, but there's some that are about gangs, there are some that are telling stories that are about monster trucks and lesbians down at El Paso. So there's really a refreshing variety of narrative topics. And the same is true of the documentaries. Some are very specifically about either the Native or Latino community, but there's another about hungry children and the hunger issue in New Mexico, and another about land and water resources and traditions that are part of New Mexico. So there really is a tremendous variety about what's going on this year.
Do we have some New Mexican filmmakers in this group?
Oh, we certainly do. We have them both in the narrative and in the documentary program. I mentioned Land, Water, People, Time, which is a project that is being developed by three New Mexican filmmakers, actually, and a project on hungry children, which is also being developed by a filmmaker here. We have a third project by a filmmaker, a director and editor who live here, Eric Maddox, who are doing a project about the struggle at the border and his observation. So it's part personal and part very illuminating about the stories and the struggles of the immigration issue down at the border.
And just to point out, it's not just Latino filmmakers, it's non-Latino filmmakers doing films about Latino issues.
That's also true, and New Mexican filmmakers who are doing films about things of concern to them in particular.
Right.
We're very excited to welcome a director who is here from Las Cruces, who will be directing scenes from her upcoming film in the narrative program as well. We have two women directors this year, and one is a New Mexican who's telling a story about two people that leave one part of the country, the South probably, and are heading up towards the North. So it's really not rooted in New Mexico per se, but she's a New Mexican filmmaker.
Well, it's wonderful, I think, that New Mexican filmmakers can get to know also filmmakers from other part of the country, because sometimes even within, for example, Latinos, Hispanics living in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, they might not know their counterparts in California or New York.
Right. It's very much about building community and a network, and this is a collaborative medium, documentary and narrative both, and you really need to draw on resources and ideas and support, which the new media world has made easier, but being able to be here in residence, in collaboration, over breakfast, having a beer, talking about advancing it, working with editors, hashing out your ideas, drawing on other people's experiences, it really builds a very special artist community that we believe builds a stronger field in general.
And you've been doing it, Nalip has been around for over 10 years, and presumably will be going on for many years to come, and it'll be so interesting to see how the world of Latino filmmaking develops. One thing that we've seen, and that I think we talked about a little bit last year, is that some of the stereotypes of Latinos in film and TV, I mean, they're still there, but there's a lot more going on besides those stereotypes.
There certainly has been a lot of progress in our first 10 years in seeing television shows and movies where the roles are more professional, they're more reflective of society, both in comedy and family and drama. Dora the Explorer is celebrating her 10th year, and that's a landmark show that's teaching lots of people Spanish all over the world, actually. So we are very proud and pleased to see that. There are still needs and a lot of work to do as far as representation of writers, directors, producers, executives, decision makers, the talent that's behind the camera, and that also very much impacts the subject matter and the balance of stories and characters in everything that you see.
And writers, directors, producers, as the groups that are, for example, in the Latino Filmmakers Producers Academy now, as they mature, one hopes that they will move into positions of more power and be able to help other people.
Very much so. I mean, that's been the tradition of our industry, is that the more advanced artists bring the others along and our mentors, and we tap into many of our senior maker mentors, but we need more of them because they're the ones that can nurse and inspire and inform and bring along that next generation.
So social change is very much part of what's going on. What are some of the real social change themes that that you're seeing, not only this year, but in the past?
Well, the documentary makers are very much involved with social change issues themselves. As I say, they're looking at hunger, they're looking at the injustice of a trial, and they're looking at environmental issues, they're looking at community political issues and figures that have transformed the social landscape. Actually, from our vantage, most any Latino story bringing awareness to a story is a social change act, you know, because media justice, media representation, diversity, awareness, I think makes us have more peace, more complex and representational democracy. We looked at a film during this past week called The Longoria Affair, which will be aired in November on Independent Lens, which is about basically the founder of the Chicano civil rights movement in Texas, which was back in the 40s and 50s, a story that many people are not aware of in any way, that intersected with President Johnson and when he was a then senator, and how the civil rights movement was really developed for Latinos. And just the fact of telling that story and bringing that awareness to this generation of Latinos, of American citizens, of viewers, is an act of courage and importance for us.
We're going to be seeing this movie tonight at the CCA called The Dry Land by Ryan Pierce Williams, and we talked to earlier earlier this morning. Tell us about how you are bringing this screening to New Mexico.
Well, part of our mission is to bring an awareness of Latino media and of new independent cinema to the world, and in this instance to Santa Fe, where we have so kindly been hosted and based. So while this is a private program for artists that apply to participate, we try to have this one public event that the community can share in. And The Dry Land, apart from being a wonderful film that Ryan Pierce Williams has written and directed, and we're really very pleased that he'll be joining us tonight to talk about it as a piece of independent media making, which is so inspiring to the producers and directors that we have in our program. It's co-produced and stars America Ferrara, who is a past fellow of the LPA, spent 2 years as a fellow at the LPA as a performer, and is also, you know, an important part of our community, who has developed so many wonderful roles, this one being very different.
And she's amazing in this. She's very, very good in this.
Well, she's a stunning actress. Yeah. So compelling, so gifted, and clearly feels safe and really has an important story to tell here. And, you know, that's another part of our advocacy work, which is seeing Latinas and Latinos in many different vantages, that here is intersecting with the veterans' right movement and the peace movement. And we want to be sure that the community feels welcome and invited to come and share this with us.
You also have, the Academy also includes Native American filmmakers, and of course, as we've talked about, the borderline between Latino and Native American is kind of a false one in some ways. And so tell us about some of the Native
American. In some regards, I mean, our Academy does welcome Native Americans to apply, and as well as New Mexicans. And we're very excited this year to invite three terrific filmmakers and their teams. Billy Luther is finishing a project called Grab, which is about the Grab Day celebration. Very, very secret, very wonderful film. You'll be seeing it soon, we're sure. He's here with his editor. Michelle Danforth has a terrific story about lacrosse, which is one of the oldest Native American games and is still very much present, and follows it all the way through a championship game where there's a new national team that's competing. And a third project, which is quite serious and challenging, about the struggles of women on reservations, but that we can be an incubation and a place to support their stories as well is important to us and our funders, and we were delighted to have them here this year.
Catherine Galan is the executive director of the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, NALIP. They're on the web at nalip.org. And the Latino Producers Academy is in progress right now. And once again, the film is tonight at the CCA called The Dry Land. Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope we see you again this time next year.
We look forward to coming back. Thank you, Michelle.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.